morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob White with Forgotten Word Ministries. I want to welcome you back today. We were discussing yesterday about whether or not, a Christian can lose salvation. And we ended off with Hebrews 2:2-3, and just a quick synopsis on that is that I personally believe a person can. I do not believe in the once saved, always saved doctrine. I know some do, but this is just a discussion on it. I want you to think about it. Gives you some something to think about here, seriously. As we were saying yesterday, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews 2:1. And the writer of Hebrews continues on by saying, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect or careless or make light of so great a salvation? And that's Hebrews 2:2-3. And that's exactly right. We cannot make it so light of it. You can go on here to say in Hebrews 3:12-14, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Did you hear that? In the departing from the living God. Now, he's talking to Christians, folks. Keep that in mind. I told you that yesterday. I should have reminded you this morning. These verses are talking to saved people, Christians, followers of Jesus. And he says right there in Hebrews 3:12-14, take heed, brethren, not unbelievers, brethren, lest there be in any of you a evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 3:12-14. Did you hear that? Notice that this was written now to brethren, those who are part of the body of Christ. If one of the brethren departs from the living God through a hard heart of unbelief, he will not be a partaker of Christ. Our confidence, in other words, our faith in Christ, must be held fast to the end. But listen to what this says. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Hebrews 3:6. Praise the Lord. Listen to that. It's telling you in plain English. If you hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Hebrews 4:11. And here's a lot more. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. You hear what the Bible says there? Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Hebrews 6:4-6. They're not hypothetical, folks. These verses are not hypothetical. They provide a sobering warning to all believers. It is important to note that this passage specifically applies to those who have backslid away from the faith and are no longer able to repent. If you are living in disobedience, hate your sin and desire to repent, then these verses don't apply to you. But if you've repented of your sins and asked Christ to be your Savior, and then you fall away, you can't come back. That's a stern, scary warning, isn't it, folks? Let's go on here. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:26-29. These verses say very plainly that those who deliberately keep on sinning after receiving knowledge of the truth and after being sanctified by the blood of Jesus will have fearful expectations of fiery judgment because they have made themselves enemies of God. Here's another one that goes on to say, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Whoa, what's that say? After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Neither the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Once again, that's Hebrews 10:35-38. Once again, here's a definite possibility that a believer can draw back and become an unbeliever to face perdition, which is the opposite of salvation. Now, it goes on to say, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Hebrews 12:25. If we turn away, you hear that? This verse warns believers not to turn away from God, for those who do so will not escape punishment. Shall not we escape if we turn away, you hear that? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's James 5:19-20. James said that if one of the brethren strays from the truth and another causes him to return to the faith, a soul has been saved from death. Now, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail and never fall. Ye shall never fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 1:8-11. What do we do? What if we do not do these things mentioned in 2 Peter? I guess it says pretty easily. We might fall into unbelief and miss the entrance into Christ's kingdom. Therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 2 Peter 3:17. Hear what that said. What might happen if one of the beloved believers falls from steadfastness and is led away with the error of the wicked? Well, it says he'd be judged along with the wicked. So, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Hear that? You knew the truth. You was a believer. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 2 Peter 3:17. Let's see one more here. It says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. 1 John 2:24. John said, if Jesus' words abide in us, meaning stay and or remain in us, only then do we continue in the Son and in the Father. Hear what it said. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. 1 John 2:24. Now remember, folks, all of these verses were written to Christians. Acts 11:26 clarifies that a Christian is a disciple of Jesus. Notice the conditions for salvation. If ye keep in memory, if ye continue in the faith, and if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, these and many other similar warnings should cause Christians, folks, to reconsider the doctrine called eternal security and once saved, always saved. I firmly believe it. I've studied it. I've tested it. I've prayed about it. I've read the word over and over and over and over again. I've read both sides of the discussion on it. I cannot see where the Bible says that you cannot lose your salvation. I believe wholeheartedly that if we give our life to ask Jesus to become our Lord and we repent of our sins and ask Him to be the Lord of our life, that He will give us eternal security. I believe that in heaven. He will give us eternity in heaven with Him, and it'll be secure. But the only way it's going to be secure, and He says it as plain as day, is if we continue to follow Him. I can't imagine how anybody can say that life is going to be so gentle on them that they're never going to doubt, and that some people aren't going to just give up. I know people who were Christian people. They believed wholeheartedly. They used, and then something tragic happened to them, and they decided that it was God's fault because they loved this person. Maybe a husband died, a wife died, that kind of thing. And a family member died, and they just gave up on God. They gave up on God. They said, "It's why would God do this? You know, God, it can't be. Can't be." And they turned away from God and lived the rest of their life disobeying every covenant that God ever put forth with man. And there's no way I can believe that God's going to accept that person that turned against Him, blamed Him for the death, and turned away from Him and started living a sinful, heathen, dirty life. And even talked about it to people. I can't believe God can be like that. So, no, I'm not believing that. And other people stumbled because of it. There's no way God's accepting it because that person's not holy and justified no more. And that's what it says we have to be. How can you believe that anybody is just eternally secure no matter what they do? That's the part that amazes me about people that believe in, you know, and I talk to people about the once saved, always saved doctrine, the eternal security doctrine, and they use the verse that they believe it says, well, they were not believers to begin with. I don't buy that story. I don't buy that story. I've seen people that were steadfast lovers of Jesus Christ who prayed and pleaded and begged God for His mercy all the time and did for the people that was poor and uplifted Jesus up and taught His words and yet fell away from Him. And I can't believe that somebody that can live for themselves and follow all the wiles of Satan on this earth can expect to go to heaven just because one time years and years and years back they said, "I believe in Jesus, therefore I'm going to heaven," and now I'm living a totally different life than what God would want me to live, and I'm living a sinful, dirty, filthy life. But it's okay because God forgave me. I don't believe it. I want you to think about this, study it. Make your mind up. Listen to the Bible, folks. Gotta go. Love you. Jesus loves you. See you in the morning, people. Bye-bye.
We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do. And we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, C-A-M-P-P-O-I-N-T, two different words, Illinois, 623-20. God bless you.